Have a seat and just think about why you're here. You're here to get more. You're not here to get anything else but more of God. Because if you get more of God, everything that you need will come along with Him. God is a package deal. You just don't get a good feeling. You get more than that. You get peace. You get strength. You get hope. You get love. He's a package deal. You get more than just a ooh and a ah and a tingly feeling down your spine. You get much more than that. That is, if your heart is rooted and grounded in a desire to worship Him. How many of you here to worship Him today? Bless God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all about getting more, folks. And there's not a person in this room who does not need more of God. Amen. We glorify His name today. Thank you, Pastor Tony. Amen. Tony gave us the trailer to the movie. Amen. Praise God. He's going to be preaching next Sunday. So y'all go get more of Tony, too. Beautiful. It makes me feel good as Tony was leading in worship. When I go out of town, I always go with the proposition that I may not make it back. All this craziness. Pray for the victims of the Egypt Air flight. 66 folks lost their lives. We don't know why. And you never know what happens when you get in your car, get on a plane. But I am so comforted by the fact that we have individuals who can stand right in my place and give God glory and lead the church in worship. And so I am just filled up right now, knowing that God has given us such wonderful, competent, spirit-filled staff. It makes my heart glad. Hallelujah. I'm just overwhelmed with joy. Thank you, Lord. We want to remember the Pitchford family, Stanley and Damon and Susan. I don't know if Susan is here, but boy, we had a good time in the Lord anyhow. And certainly we are praying for the Zanders family as well, in which we had two members lose their mothers on Mother's Day. So our thoughts and prayers are with both of these families. And so please keep these families lifted up in prayer and in praise. Amen. Well, welcome to Blessed Hope Bible Church, where we're giving our best to the one who gave his all. And our theme for 2016 is, it's all about Jesus. And this month we're covering the series entitled, Jesus Saves. And the first series was on John chapter 4, a thirsty Savior offers living water to a thirsty soul. Then we covered Matthew 14, a drowning disciple who learns how to pray. That was fun. John chapter 8, a woman about to be stoned. Mark chapter 4, amen. We covered that, a boat full of frightened disciples. And today we're going to look at Luke chapter 19, a tax collector in a tree. And as you look at these, Jesus saves all kind of folk who are in all kinds of situations. That's why we picked these particular scriptures, to show you the diversity of how Jesus' salvation encounters the human spirit. There you can be in any type of situation and Jesus is still able to save you. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, and I'm going to read a few verses for you. It says these words. Let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. So he wasn't just a tax collector. He had a crew under him. So he would have been a mafia boss, because racketeering was what tax collectors did. They shook folk down. And so he was a mafia boss, a gang leader. He was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Let's talk about crowds for a minute. Let's not talk about the fact that he's short, because that's not really the problem. Because even if he was tall, he'd still have to press through the crowd. Amen? Some folk like to preach about the fact that he was short, but that ain't got nothing to do with it. Let's deal with the crowd. Amen? There are four things I want you to see from crowds today, even in Jesus' day. Number one, crowds will give you the illusion of unity and strength. They give you the illusion of unity and strength. You turn on your TV, you see Mega Preacher Baptist Church, and everybody looking all happy and shouting. There's a whole lot of broken folk in that crowd. Crowds give the illusion of unity and strength. Number two, crowds want miracles rather than a message. That's why you get crowds. Why was Jesus always having a crowd following him? Because he cast out a devil, fed 5,000, did this or did that. But when he really started preaching, then the crowds left. Crowds always want miracles over messages. And that's why, Blessed Hope, you've got to be careful about what you want as a church. Do you want a crowd full of folk who want you to dance, sing, jump, and holler? Or do you want folk who are committed to Jesus Christ, hungry for the word of God, and hungry for the souls of those who are in sin? That's what you really want. Amen? Third, crowds are high maintenance. You have to be a pastor to understand probably most of what I'm saying. Crowds are high maintenance because the gimmick that you use to get a crowd, you've got to come up with a new gimmick to keep the crowd. Amen. The gimmick that you use to get the crowd, well, that gimmick done played out. Now you got to come up with a new gimmick to keep the crowd because crowds are fickle. Crowds are spoiled. Crowds are selfish. Crowds want immediate gratification. And so if you're not jumping through hoops and then jumping through a bigger hoop and then another hoop, guess what happens to the crowd? The crowd leaves. Why? They go follow somebody else who can jump through a higher hoop than you. Crowds are high maintenance. Pastor, you don't want a whole lot of people going to your church, do you? I don't want a whole bunch of fools coming in here trying to run something for God and they don't know God. That's what I don't want. Amen. I don't want to have to flip over backwards to make you happy. I don't want that. I'm too old. I've got arthritis. I ain't got time to flip for you. Y'all getting all the movement y'all go get right here. Amen. There's no cure for getting old. I don't care how much you spirit feel. There ain't no cure for turning 50 and all the things that come with it. Amen. And lastly, crowds can keep you from seeing God's purpose for your life. They can diffuse the intimacy of getting to know Jesus. And so you can be all around Jesus and not really be intimate or know him because you're in a crowd. Y'all getting where I'm coming from? So a crowd is any distraction or any situation that obstructs your vision and ability to see God. So what do you have to do with the crowds? You got to get away from the crowds. Look at Luke chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. So Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, that is Jesus, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Hurry up, that is, make haste. Hurry up and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he, Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. Let me give you two insights here. If you want to experience God's presence in your life, you got to stop running with the crowd. That's number one. If you want to experience God's presence in your life, you'll never experience running with the crowd. You always got to get away to a place where you and God can be alone, where you can cultivate a level of intimacy with God so that you can see him. Because the crowd will keep you from seeing his purpose for your life. You got to get away from the crowd. Now, I want to preach to a spirit here, that idea that if everybody likes you and everybody wants to hang out with you, that somehow that's a good thing. Honey, let me tell you how that can be a bad thing. Because pleasing people will always cause you to get into a dilemma with God. if you live your life to please man, at some point in your life, you're going to come to a fork in the road where you must choose between pleasing God and pleasing man, because man is going to always put rules and impose his ideas on what you should be, and then there's God. And generally, man who is not seeking God will always be wanting you to do something that has nothing to do with God. And since y'all been walking together thus far, why don't we walk together some more? But you got to come and do this for me. Whereas God is saying, well, you can't do that and follow me at the same time. When you decide to please people and become a crowd-pleasing kind of person, you're always going to have to throw away your ability to get close with God because you're too busy being cozy with man. And you can't have both. You can't be all cozied up with man and be close with God, because man's heart is not like God's heart. Isaiah reminds us that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. So why are you trying to please flesh and blood? Why are you trying to please somebody who's here today and gone tomorrow? If you really want to see God, you have to be willing to get away from the crowd to a place where you can see God for yourself. That's insight number one. You got to get to that place. Now let me preach a little bit more on this, because I want to develop it for those of you who are seeking that practical application. You might have to give up that boyfriend. How's that practical for you? You might have to give up that girlfriend. You might have to give up that situation because it is blocking your vision from seeing God. And I know I'm preaching to somebody, but let the shoe fit whoever's going to wear it today. He who has ears to hear is how Jesus put it. Listen carefully. There may be a situation, a person, let's just make it a noun, a person, place, or thing that is keeping you from seeing God, but you're so concerned about keeping that person, place, or thing, that noun or pronoun in your life, that you're having trouble understanding God's will. That's because you're trying to keep something you don't need, and you're giving up something that you absolutely need. That's the problem. How come I don't know God's will? Because you can't see. How come I can't see? Because you're a crowd pleaser. I ain't around no crowd. No, but you're around a man who ain't no good, who keeps getting in the way of your ability to see God, or a woman, or whatever. I got to really be careful how I preach this, but that's all right. I'm going to still preach the gospel based on what the Bible says. A man or a woman who is keeping you from seeing God. That's the problem. It's not that God is not speaking, that he is not present, but you have blocked your own way. You have blocked your own inability. The reason you can't get to God is not because of the devil, it's because of you. You blocking your own ability to get to God. You're blocking your own way to get to God because you're afraid of what it might cost you. You're afraid of what you might lose. And so you're in a constant state of trying to get closer, trying to get closer, trying to get closer to God, but you're not getting any closer last week than you are this week. Why? Because the thing that's blocking you, you ain't done nothing about it. That's the key. And you're going to see this very clearly in the next few verses. The sycamore tree symbolizes that place where you and God can experience intimacy without any distraction whatsoever. Amen. If there's a bunch of folk in your house and you need to pray, then go in the backyard and pray. Go on your job and pray. Go over, always go to a private place and pray, so that you can talk to God and God has your undivided attention. Amen? And never cut out prayer time and Bible time in order to have family time. Family can wait. God deserves everything. And we need to connect to God so we can have a good family in the first place. Let's keep going. Jesus' call to Zacchaeus. Jesus looks up. Zacchaeus, this tax collector in a tree, thinking that Jesus didn't see him. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Jesus walking along, he looks up. And this is what he does. The first thing about Jesus called to Zacchaeus, he calls Zacchaeus by name. Now, they haven't met before, But because Jesus is God, and God is what we call omniscient, that means he knows all things, he knew Zacchaeus' name. So he calls him by his name, Zacchaeus. Guess what? Zacchaeus is not the only person Jesus knows. There's a very interesting theological situation going on here. Because at the time, Zacchaeus is a sinner. And Jesus knows him by name. Let me say it again. Zacchaeus is a sinner. Jesus knows him by name. So, if Jesus knows the sinner by name, guess who else he knows by name? He knows everybody by name. And look at the intimacy. I'll keep using that word because it's very important. Because salvation is about intimacy and fellowship with God. He calls him by his first name, Zacchaeus. And then he doesn't say, Zacchaeus, I see you in the tree. He says, watch this, which gets to the second point. He invites him to come down and fellowship. Come down from the tree. Hallelujah. So Jesus is looking up at a sinner and tells the sinner, I want you to come down from that tree. Now I want to stop there just for a quick second. The idea of coming down from the tree is very, very simple. It is this. Whenever Jesus has an encounter with anybody, his desire is always to be close in fellowship with you. Listen to me carefully. Jesus doesn't want you over here and he's over there. He will always draw you to himself. You say, but I don't feel like I'm good enough. Honey, consider Zacchaeus's record. Jesus is calling a man who has robbed, stealed, and lied on folks, saying, I want to be close to you. Saints of God, I know that as Pastor Tony just said, you wasn't a good little boy or girl this past week, but guess what? I've got good news for you. Jesus knows your name, and he wants to be close to you. But I ain't been. Honey, Jesus knows that too. He knows that too. But you should have saw me last night. I probably shouldn't have, but Jesus knows that too. No, I shouldn't have seen you. But he wants to be close to you. Isn't that good news? And this is what I like about it. It says here, Jesus says, today, look at the timing there. Today, I must stay. At whose house? Your house. Hallelujah. He says, this is the thing. When I read the Bible, I always am fascinated by prepositions. I must stay. He didn't say, can I stay? Yeah, I have to stay. I have to stay. I must stay. Why did he say it would be nice if I stayed? But he said, I must stay at your house. There's something in there, saints, that we need to tease out. We've got to go after this. There's some more pepperoni on this pizza. I must stay at, watch this, your house. But this is the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. And Jesus is saying, but I got to stay. I can't go no place else. I got to stay at his house. I got to stay at his house. Now someone would say, what is it, Pastor, that you see that's in there? This is what I see. When God has a purpose for you, he has to do it. He just has to. And you got to let him in. And he's not going to force his way in. You've got to be willing to let him in so he can fulfill his purpose in you. There's a have to that God has in your life, something he must do and he really wants to do in you, in me, and in anybody who's going to receive him by faith. There's something he must do. And the first thing is stay with you and stay in your house, that house being your heart. Look at Zacchaeus. Well, you don't have to ask me twice. Zacchaeus makes haste, or he hurries up and comes down. And look at this. He receives him joyfully. You know, this is why I don't like giving invitations. Because I don't like putting people in the position where they feel they got to make a decision to please me. I don't like long invitations begging people to take something that's free and that will give them everlasting life. That's not something I like to do. Why am I begging you to get saved and to keep you from drowning? I like it when, if you want to be saved, get up on your feet. And I shouldn't have to ask twice. Because Jesus is saying, I'll take you just like you are. I want to be with you. I know you by name. I know your record. I know what you've done. And I know you've been looking for me. Well, I found you. Why does it take all day to get that connection tied together? Why does that take 15 minutes of church time before you can get up out of a blue seat? You should know whether you want them or not. I want people who want God to want God. If it's a problem for you, honey, hop back on 270 and God be with you. You should want him. It says Zacchaeus received him joyfully. Can somebody find Luke chapter 18? Can someone find, and while you're doing that, Brother Marcus, can you give me the Luke chapter 19, verse 7, 8, the next one, please? Someone find Luke. And when you find it, I want you to stand up. Roderick, would you grab this green mic over here? Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to come down for a minute to you. And I want you to come and join me right now. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to show you what salvation looks like. Y'all got Luke chapter 18? You got it. Okay, find verse 18, all right? And I'll tell you when to read. Let me read Luke 19, verses 7 and 8. Can I do that? But when they, who's they? The crowd. Saw Jesus invite Zacchaeus down, and Zacchaeus received him joyfully. They all complained. See, that's that crowd. They're misguided. They always are. Saying, he, Jesus, has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner, as if they're not. So the same crowd that was following Jesus so much that Zacchaeus couldn't get to him are now complaining about him. Can I preach for a few moments? See, you can be the next best thing, Minister Green. You can preach your heart out, and by Wednesday at Bible study, ain't nobody going to want to have nothing to do with you because you said something that they didn't like. And all of a sudden, the folk that was running all up on you, talking about I'm praying for you, oh, you'll make a good pastor, but I don't tell pastor, but you'll be a good pastor. That same one will be the one who will get in your face and say, see there, I knew he was wrong. I knew something was wrong with him. That's crowds. That's why you don't preach to man. You preach for God. Man too hard-headed to hear, let him go where he goes. You preach for God. Look at the crowd all up on Jesus. Now they're complaining. He's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. But watch Zacchaeus step in and interrupt the crowd. And sometimes you got to tell boyfriend and girlfriend to shut up. Amen. I'm going to church. Amen. Like there's 7 billion people on the planet, honey. Cut that loose. I'll be lonely. Honey, you won't be lonely. God got your other man over here. He's just waiting for you to get enough sense to cut that one loose. 7 billion people and you're afraid of losing Devion Travius. Let him go. He want to go to Central Missouri? Let him go. Devion, computer science major, going to University of Central Missouri. Featured on Channel 5. Just the other day. We're so proud of him. Let her go. You go to Warrensburg, let her stay in St. Louis. Look at
Look at Zacchaeus. And now Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Roderick, read Luke 18, 18 through 23.
A certain leader asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to have
life? Slow it down. Give me a little preacher in there. A good teacher. Yeah. Come on. This is the Bible, brother. Give me something.
A certain leader asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to have life forever?
Very good.
Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Only God is good. You know the commands. You must not be guilty of adultery. You must not murder anyone. You must not steal. You must not tell lies about your neighbor. Honor your father and mother. But the leader said, I have obeyed all these commands since I was a boy.
What did he say?
But I have obeyed all these commands since I was a boy.
Keep going.
When Jesus heard this, he said to him, there is still one more thing you need to do. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor.
You got to read that again.
When Jesus heard this, he said to him, there is still one more thing you need to do. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor.
You got to read that again because that sounds like money involved. Come on. We read, you know, we in North County, we're talking about money. So what do you say?
When Jesus heard this, he said, give all your money to the poor.
Keep going.
Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But then the man heard this. He became very sad because he was very rich.
Thank you, Roderick. Let's give Roderick a hand. Amen. Thank you, brother. So in Luke 18, Jesus asked for someone who had been going to Sunday school with a big old giant print Bible, quoting scriptures all day life, big old NKJV, KJV, NCV, NLT, LIV, all these versions, all up in the church, carrying the Bible like this. You know how they are. The arrogant saints, they've been in church 50 years, can't nobody tell them nothing. And Lord is good. I'm good. Look at God. God is good. Big old giant print Bible. Sell your house. You with your giant print Bible, Bishop Hayes, I need you to sell your house. You've been following me. I see you've been reading about me. I see you've done all the things this book told you to do. Sell your house. We're talking about somebody who claimed that they follow God, didn't do all that stuff that a tax collector would do. And then when Jesus says, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come on with me, what happened? He tucked his Bible back up, tucked his giant print Bible, and went away sad. Went away sad. I can't believe Jesus asked me to do that. My religion didn't ask me to do that. Synagogue didn't ask me to do that. He go ask me to do that. But yet you got Zacchaeus. Filthy. Wretched. Lying, stealing, conniving tax collector. Jesus didn't ask him to give up nothing. Zacchaeus tells God, I give. Oh, come on. In Luke chapter 18, the religious Sunday school teaching Baptist brother who you can't tell nothing to with a giant print Bible didn't want to give up his checkbook. But Zacchaeus says, I'll write a check. Since you think I'm a sinner, let me write a check right now to God. And if I took something, according to the Levitical law, which says if you steal from your neighbor, you must restore it fourfold. And he knew the Bible. I'll give back four times what I stole. The rich young ruler. Well, I'm going to put my checkbook in my pocket and tell Jesus God is good. But then come no good, conniving Zacchaeus, who everyone despised, who hears the crowd gossiping, Jesus going to the house of a sinner. I knew he wasn't right. He's a false prophet. Zacchaeus said, let me shut this down. Where my checkbook? Where my checkbook? Okay, this is Jesus, I own 5 million. 2.5, here, give it to the poor. Take that crowd. And then I need to go back and find out who I missed, who I lied about. And as a result, extorted money from. Then I need to go. And so if I took $10 from them, I'm going to give them a check for 40. The religious guy wasn't willing to part with his money. The no good crack dealer. You want to know what salvation is. That's why the church don't, I'm so glad that the church don't save people. Church don't determine who goes to heaven or hell. With all its rules. Zacchaeus took the thing that mattered to him most, to which he had devoted his life, and that was the acquisition of wealth and money. The very thing by which he defined himself. He says, Lord, you can have this. If I stole something, or if any of my guys stole something, we go find them and we go pay them. Got to go home now. Jesus said to him, Luke 19, 9 and 10. And Jesus said to him, not to the crowd, to him, that's important. Today salvation has come to this house. Because he also is a son of Abraham. Now you've got to have some Bible in you to understand what Jesus is talking about. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. A son of Abraham is one who walks by faith, because Abraham was never under the law. He was before Moses. He predated Moses. So to be a son of Abraham is to be one who knows God by faith. You say, well, I need more information. Romans chapter 4 will hook you up. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. How can salvation come to this house when there wasn't a sinner's prayer? I didn't hear Zacchaeus say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Well, he didn't die yet, but so you don't need that sinner's prayer. But yet, look at what Jesus says. And some of y'all are going to get mad at me, and I hope you do, and I don't care. It says here, and Jesus said to him, today, before I die on the cross, today, salvation has come to this house. I'm going to work this. Some of you are not going to get it, and that's okay by me. Listen to me, saints. Jesus is God. He can save anybody he wants to. He can save him. He ain't got to die for you to save you. Oh, yeah, now you're mad. Come on, go ahead and roll your eyes at me. He don't have to die to save you. He just saved somebody, and he ain't dead. Deal with that. Today, salvation has come to this house. And don't be trying to tweak salvation to make it not look like the salvation we have. No, honey, salvation, his sins have been forgiven. Why? Because I'm God. I can forgive anytime I want. I don't need blood to forgive anybody. I choose to use blood as the means by which I forgive. Because it is through blood that I make available something called atonement to all mankind. Y'all see it now? God chose his son to die on the cross to take away our sins. But he did not have to choose that way to forgive. He can just pronounce forgiveness and it's done. But oh, thanks be to God for the blood. But without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. Well, I hear you. And that is under the sacrificial system. You're correct. Under the sacrificial system. It's in Romans chapter, or Hebrews 9. Read the context. That is under the sacrificial system. You're correct. But I'm reading this. And I'm reading the Son of God say, you're saved. But you ain't been to the cross. You saved today. You're saved today. And then when he goes to the cross, he established this new and living way whereby now we come through the blood. We come through the blood. But what I'm trying to teach you, if you will put aside your Sunday school mentality and your crowd think, is God is so bad, he can speak salvation. He can speak it. And it is. Honey, if he can frame the heavens and the earth by his word, why can't he forgive a man of his sins by that same word? What is easier, Jesus says, to say your sins are forgiven, arise, take up your bed and walk. How much do you have to be shown, saints of God, before you realize who we are serving, that he is bigger than our imagination? Now I want to teach one more thing before we let you go. Why would Jesus proclaim salvation to the house of Zacchaeus, to Zacchaeus and his family? Let me tell you what constitutes salvation. I've taught this before, but I'm going to say it again. It is the transformative act of Zacchaeus that confirmed his salvation and right relationship and right standing with God. Let me say it again. When Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give half my rich, my stuff to the poor, and if I've stolen anything, that was the result. Not because he wanted to please the crowd, it's because he has had an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ and his heart has been changed. I'm going to go home, Jesus, and since you got to come in my house, I don't want you in a nasty house. So I'm going to clean my house. I'm going to sell some stuff. I'm going to get rid of some stuff. And Jesus said, and now I can say that you're saved, not because you came down from a tree, not because you put on a shirt and tie and came to church, but because you made a change in your life. Salvation must produce life change, or it is not salvation. John MacArthur, in his book, The Gospel According to Jesus, warns us we have made grace too easy, we've made it too simple, and we've got a whole bunch of church-going sinners who are headed straight to hell. Your heart must be changed. Don't be taking up no blue seats talking about I'm headed to heaven and you still cussing everybody out. When you leave here, you go cuss somebody out. Your heart ain't changed one bit. You can listen to Drake just as much as you can listen to Israel Houghton. You probably don't even know who Israel is, but you know who Jay-Z is. And yet you go come in and shout. Your heart must be changed. It's not just coming down from the tree, putting on the right clothes, coming to the right church, carrying your big old Bible with your giant print going on and looking like you're saved. It's about going to your own house, putting your arms around your own wife, making sure that your children are loved, making sure that everything is taken care of. When people talk about you like a dog, it's reaching out to them and say, I forgive you, and letting them know, I am born again. I have been changed. It's not holding bitterness and resentment against folk who did you wrong, as if you can't be done wrong. No, honey, it's about manning up and say, I am saved. You will not take me down. I forgive you. I love you. It may be going home and saying, you can't live here no more. It might be that. I preached one sermon many years ago, and probably was this one. Young lady went home. She, I told my boyfriend, you have 30 days. Because I'm being nice. Yes. But you got to go. I heard the word of God.
Yes.
She called me and said, Pastor, I just gave him 30 days. I said, well, whatever. I'm being nice. Man came up to me, I'll never forget. Didn't know he was going to die in about a year. He heard a sermon very similar to this. The need for transformative living. You dancing and twerking and all of this, and then you're going to come and shout in the holy house of God. Okay, I don't even, you know what? With your bad self. You know, I got to keep going. He had been a gambler and an alcoholic for 50 years. Everybody knew he was the baddest dude. Sheila knows him. It was in Wentzville. He was the baddest. You did not mess with him. And everybody who was an entertainer, Chuck Berry, Bobby Blues Bland, they all went by his house when he threw a party. All the big stars of the day. And he came to me and says, I need to see you in your office. So, okay, what's going down? No. And he sat across from me. Took a chair. Didn't ask if he'd be seated. Oh, sit down my own self. And I think he's trying to be, you know, I said, okay, what's going on? And he started crying. He just started crying. He said, Pastor, I'm living with this woman. And you just preached a sermon. I can't go back home and live with her. I want to be safe. I want you to baptize me. Then I want you to marry us.
Amen.
Today.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I want to be saved. Then I want you to baptize me. Then I want you to marry us. We've been together 12 years. I want you to marry us. Would you do it, Pastor? He had been an alcoholic. A mess for 50 years. He's over 70 years old. He says, I can't go home with that woman, and we live together. I want to be saved. Baptize me and marry us today. I didn't pray the sinner's prayer with him. He was already saved. Y'all see it now? See, this token salvation is going to cost us eternity. And if I don't preach another sermon, you had better make sure that your lifestyle is consistent with your profession. Because God is not a toy that you can play with. Neither is the church. And you can talk about the old fat, no good preacher. You'll still go to hell on your own. I don't go to church because of preachers like you. No. No, it's not that. Because if it wasn't preachers like me, it would be a saint like so-and-so. And if it wasn't a saint like so-and-so, it's because you couldn't find a seat. And if it wasn't because you couldn't find a seat, it's because you couldn't find a parking space. And if it wasn't because of a parking space, you couldn't find the same socks to wear. Honey, I ain't bothering you. You want salvation? It's here. But the moment you close your eyes and breathe your last breath, you will either go to heaven or hell. And you don't have to go to hell. you can go to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. Who wants to know Jesus? If you don't know him and you know that you need to know him and you want to know him and you have come here seeking him, stand up right now. You have 15 seconds. I'm not going to take all your time and you're not going to take mine. You have 10 seconds. If you want to know him, stand up. Is there one? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. God bless you and God keep you is our prayer.